Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. If you want to listen live, all you have to do is download the iHeartRadio app and search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Also, if you want to catch this show on video, be sure to check out Zumo TV, channel 719. That's where you can find SportsGrid's Fantasy Sports Network. Enjoy the show, and thanks so much for listening.
And happy Friday. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. Here with you on Sports Grid, Craig Nish, along with Joe Pisapia on this happy Friday, May the 8th, 2020, as we close out another week at home. Hopefully everyone is doing okay out there. Of course, you can watch our show on all the different streaming apps. We're going to get to a lot of sports talk today, some fantasy talk. Gray Albright, as always, is going to join us from Razzball.com on this Friday. Joe, how is your Friday going so far this morning?
It's going all right, my friend. It was a long early morning, shoveling a lot of mulch. I don't know what came over me. I said, no, let's do it. I can definitely do it before the show and get everything done. I'm a mulcher. I'm a mulcher from way back. But the one saving grace is, and I recommend this to anyone doing yard work on the weekend, the podcast, Oh, Hello There, with Nick Kroll, who most of you know from The League, and John Mulaney, fantastic stand-up comedian. They play these two old guys, and they've been doing these – they did a Broadway show, actually, together, the two of them. They've done a lot of comedy shows with these two characters, and they started a podcast. So I'm literally out in front of my house shoveling mulch into this area around the driveway and all the things and stuff like that, and laughing out loud as cars pass me because that's how damn funny it was. I'm trying to get you to listen to it.
I listened to some of it. I listened to, like, the first 10 minutes.
Oh, my God. Did you catch any of the fake promos? For, like, Subway, if you like puffy bread and sweaty meats. Right. Subway's not a sponsor of our show, but...
Warm takes or something? Is that
what well, yeah, warm breezes instead of hot warm takes. Breeze. And I know you hate hot takes, and I immediately thought... And the whole
It was pretty funny. Yeah, I mean, it's hard with my kids, but yeah, I'm going to, when I have time
start at the beginning.
It's
all under the guidelines of this. I thought it was just one episode about this, but apparently the whole series is them uncovering the truth about the Princess Diana murder, so to speak.
Right.
And it is so funny, Craig. I mean, I was just dying some of the things that come out of their mouth.
Yeah. No, I listen, at this time of really the lives that we're living in, to find anything that can entertain you.
And for a good cause. They're raising
money
for relief. So I mean, it's a win-win, baby. You make me laugh and you're helping people out. Let's do it.
Absolutely. So next week we'll have NASCAR, or the week after. Is it next week? Yeah, I think it's next week we'll have NASCAR. It's coming back. And the announcement became official today that they're going to have this little golf tournament with Phil Mickelson, Tiger Woods, also playing for charity. But the wrinkle is playing Tom Brady and Peyton Manning. And Joe, I don't really know about the golfing skills about those two football players. I know they've both played golf before, but this is going to be up on FanDuel at some point. Are we handicapping this at all? Do we have a clue who the better golfer is between
the two? Well, walk me through this. So they're playing each other, right? I mean, Peyton versus Tom, or are they playing as teams?
They're playing as teams.
Okay, so who's paired with who?
Just I don't know that. Yeah, I don't know that they've determined that yet.
Oh, all right. Who would you rather, if you are, you know, let's say you're picking one of the two athletes, who would you want in your cart, Peyton Manning or Tom Brady?
Well, I mean, it would seem to me that Manning has been retired longer and has had more time to play.
Is that a fair
handicap?
I think it's a very fair handicap. Plus, I think Peyton Manning's pretty damn funny. And I'm Mr. Tom Brady, but I feel like Peyton Manning might be the better guy to be smoking a cigar with in the cart. I could be wrong. I could be wrong about this, but I don't know. I think Peyton's pretty damn hilarious, too. His SNL sketch for the United Way thing one of the great sketches of all time where he's throwing balls right in kids' chests and then screaming at them. Oh, so good.
Have you watched the SNLs, by the way, on Saturday night?
I have. Actually, I thought some of the quarantine ones. The quarantine SNL bits, the SNL from home sketches, were pretty funny, especially the one with the Zoom meeting, which for the two older ladies who didn't know how to work Zoom, and the one lady brought it into the bathroom with her, and that was after having a very long afternoon with my mother trying to teach her how to Zoom, it was the perfect antidote. It's exactly what I needed.
Yeah, I listen, it's a little weird to watch the shows without any laughter, but again, anything new that's kind of on television or podcasting or even for content that we're putting out, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah. Did you catch the bit Kate McKinnon and Edie Bryant did with the grocery store with all the bad items left too?
Yes, I did. Dasani. Wine. What's the deal with Dasani?
I don't know. Wine from Missouri.
But they kept going to Dasani.
I don't know why.
I think people don't like Dasani.
Well, it's basically, filtered tap water. So I guess that's the joke of it, is that people still don't want to buy it for whatever the process is. But then there's no sodium, and then it was vegan Dasani and all the other Dasanis.
That was kind of funny because it's true. Every time I go somewhere, it's like you have the choice of all these water bottles, and the one that's always sitting there is Dasani, right?
Always. I don't know why, but I it's pretty funny.
Kind of bizarre, for sure. All right, let's get to some news. And look, other than the NFL schedule, which we're going to dive into a little bit more coming up on the weekend, this story with Earl Thomas, it's funny. It was his birthday the other day. Happy birthday, right? We brought him up for his birthday. We said he was a Hall of Famer. And then one of the stranger stories that was reported, Joe, yesterday was just kind of a little nuts, involving the wife and maybe a family member or... I guess, here's my advice.
I'm wanting to see how you tiptoe around using some of the words.
Here's my advice. You know that we have nothing to talk about. Uh-huh. Don't give us anything to talk about, because we are going to spend 10 minutes on a documentary from 20 years ago. Like, literally, we're doing old stadiums. If an NFL player does something wacky and is involved in something wacky... Like, if Antonio Brown was doing something wacky like he was all football season, we would spend a lot of time on it. And I think that that's the category that falls in this into. Just stay home. Stay away. Don't do anything. Don't give us any reason to talk about this kind of stuff.
Well, I mean, I was seeing if you're going to say the word, the O word, that he was involved in, apparently. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it. Can I say it? I think people understand. Let's just say Earl Thomas was entertaining more than one friend. Can you say it this way? And okay. I guess the story, I'm going to try to do this as PG as I can, but it's going to fail. Listen,
people may not know, Joe, so you could go into it. All right.
For those who don't know, reportedly he was held at gunpoint by his wife after catching him with some of his friends having a good time.
Yes.
Earl Thomas is, I guess he ended up playing a lot of defense that night.
Oh, there's the pun.
There it is. I had to throw the dad pun in there, but you're right. This is not a good time to do something stupid. And, it's a wonder. I didn't think, social distancing, you were around and allowed to be around that many people, Craig. But apparently Earl Thomas is just throwing caution to the wind.
Yeah. whatever makes you happy, but just keep in mind that...
It was his birthday.
The divorce rate that's going to come out of this pandemic, forget it. You think you have a clue right now, the second that this is all over with? People are going to be running to get divorced.
Oh, my God. Well, I guess this would make marriages stronger, though, too, right? On the other hand.
It depends.
I guess. It's either going to make or break your marriages, right?
For my marriage and for what's going on here, I'll be 100% transparent. It started off, first of all, we're totally cool. But it was weird the first couple of weeks just, being up at each other's grill the whole time. Mm-hmm. But then you come up with a plan, like, okay, here's a regimen, here's our schedule, here's when you're doing your work, here's when we have to have the kid. And then it has been smooth for a month. Like, it has been no problem. And my wife has cooked, every night, just like you're cooking for your kids. So I can't complain. I mean, I don't want to do this anymore, but if I had to, I could.
I want to go outside.
Well, I'll tell you the debate that we're having right now.
Okay, what's the big debate?
You could weigh in on the debate.
Okay? I will. As someone who's divorced, I will weigh in on this for you.
Okay. So here it is. So look, Joe, I don't have a lot of exciting stuff going on like everybody else. Just like everybody else. There's nothing exciting. I have gone through all my old stuff time and time again. I'm done in this house, okay? Mm-hmm. I've gone through it all. I've dug through. I found my old Mad magazines, Crack magazines, my old yearbooks, old calendars from the Yankees, the Mets.
Stuff.
Dude, I found everything that's in this house, okay? Mm-hmm. I got a storage unit, though. Miles away. And I want to go. I want to go to my storage unit and crack open some stuff. Bring it home and just to keep me busy. I could tell if I really pushed, my wife would let me do it. But I can also sense that she doesn't want me to go do it. What do I do?
Well, I mean, in the storage unit, you're by yourself. I can't imagine anybody else being there. What if you tell her you're going to like be in the storage? I mean, like, what's the chances of the person anywhere near you in the storage unit?
And as soon as you open the door, it's immediately to the right, and it's on the bottom floor.
Look, I would say this. It seems like if you were a superhero, you would be the sorter, because that seems like what you're doing. Like, it seems like you were like compulsively just kind of going through things and sorting and looking through stuff.
Well, I mean, seriously, like, look, I exercise every single day for an hour. I go on treadmill, watch TV, catch up on the podcast, think of things for the show. Do it every single day. I throw with my son in the backyard virtually every single day for about 30, 45 minutes, and then we alternate, we hit on days that we don't throw. That's it. That's it right there.
I think you should be indulged. I think things are starting to loosen up a little bit.
I set her up. I basically said I want to do it. I want to do it a few times, and then I said I want to go tomorrow.
Here you go. It's Mother's Day this weekend.
No, I can't.
No. Of course not. Let me hear you out. You knock Mother's Day out of the park. You have the kids make her something now on the sly. I know what to do here. Here's what you do. You knock Mother's Day out of the park.
Oh, I got a good plan for that. Yeah.
And then Monday, Tuesday, you go, I'm really itching to go check that out. I think there's actually something in there that I actually want to see or maybe even get rid of. Excuse is.
Oh, yeah, get rid of. That's a good one, too. Yeah.
Get rid of.
Get rid of meaning come to the house and, like, play with.
Yeah, get rid of from the storage into your living room. Exactly. It's going to be a nice Bud Light sign right above the fish couch.
Fernando Valenzuela box on that. They have like 10 over there.
You go through Mother's Day. You knock Mother's Day out of the park. Then on Monday, not even Monday. You give it, 48 hours.
Give it a Monday. Make it a Tuesday.
Tuesday afternoon. We're in the thick of it. I think I'd like to.
I think you've come up with a plan. I think I will execute.
I've watched a lot of Larry David on quarantine, too. I've watched a lot of Curb, which, by the way, we haven't talked about. Maybe at the end of the show today, we can bang that out, because I'd like your thoughts on the Spite Store, because I thought it was hell of a season.
I thought it was the best season in years.
I would
How
agree.
Could anybody watch that show this year?
I got caught up on all the ones that I had missed.
The year before was the worst year, I think, that they ever had.
I think it was as bad as you did, but I love the Spite Store. The Mocha Joe Latte Larry Spite Store. It's one of the greatest things ever. I mean, it's just so funny.
All right. Gray Albright's going to be with us coming up a little bit later on in the show. But coming up next, it's time for This Day in Fantasy Sports. And we also have our fantasy sports birthdays. Don't forget, you can watch our show also on the weekends. Just head on over to sportsgrid.com. We'll set you up, give you the schedule, tell you exactly when you could watch our show, which normally is Saturday morning and Sunday night. It's kind of bizarre, but that's when they're airing. And also, Joe, your Diamond Bet show is coming up on Saturday. Want to give a 30-second preview real quick of what you're saying?
Yeah, actually, we're on Sunday mornings, so we'll be doing Left Field Edition, things coming out of left field, including the greatest left fielders ever to play the game for every major league team, the best left fielders right now, and some really funny bits you stick around for, too, the best out-of-left-field moments in Major League Baseball history, which is, let's just say Matt Stryker and I are pretty stupid, and that's a good thing for everybody watching.
It is, for sure. All right, so let's do this. We'll take a quick timeout. It's May the 8th. We've got This Day in Fantasy Sports, and our fantasy sports birthday is coming right up. This is FST on Sports Grid. Craig Mitch, Joe Pizzapia. We are back right after this. Don't go away. 2 minutes.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you. because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig and Joe back with you here on Friday. We're ready for a huge weekend. What's on the menu, Joe? Is it a little, I don't know, watching old videos of you, like, sword fighting? Like,
No.
What haven't you done yet?
Well, actually, I am decided to sort of start to take care of the exterior of the house because the weather's starting to get better here. So this is the time to do it before it gets super hot in New Jersey, because it's either going to be freezing cold or super hot. There's nowhere in between usually. So I'm going to try to power wash the outside. I bought the power washer, so I'm going to feel like a man and just, you know, strip all the dirt away from everything outside. That's going to be a good time. And it's Mother's Day, so I'm going to try for the first time in over 2 months to drive over and do a drive-by of my parents' house, which will be nice for the kiddos, take them over there, say hi to grandma, all that stuff. So that's pretty much it. I'm looking forward to being Outdoor Joe this weekend. It's Outdoor Joe out there in the yard. I told you, I'm doing the mulch. I'm power washing. I'm making all of the exteriors ready. I'm trying to think about summer. Pool's going to open soon. I know Florida, it's like always summer for you, but there's a window for me. There's a window, and I'm trying to take advantage of this window here to be outside and enjoying the exterior of the home. What's your big plan this weekend? I know you said you got Mother's Day plans, but what else is going on?
I also have a lot of work to do outside of the house, but being Jewish, what I'm going to do is I'm going to power pay somebody to do it for me. I have no work to do outside the house.
Do you mow your own lawn? Or you don't have
I don't have a huge lawn. You know, I live in a gated community that they have people come around to it.
Why I thought I remembered that. I don't mow my own lawn. We have way too much lawn. I have terrible allergies.
I would love to have more of that in a backyard. I think that's
the
next house.
I'd have to get the big riding mower, though. I'd have to go full Forrest Gump and, you know, make it like a thing where I could just, like,
John
drive
Deere.
Around. Yeah, yeah. Full Forrest Gump. That would be me on there. But I would never be able to breathe every time I mow the lawn for like 2 days afterwards, so that would be a problem. That's why
my wife. It's Mother's Day. I let her pick her own presents, so she got something. I'm not sure what. I'll see the bill. But I got from all of us a digitally engraved wooden card that like has all this like stuff in there. I'm not sure exactly.
Engraved wood. I didn't know wood.
Neither did I, but
it's compatible with the internet.
I'm hoping it's going to get here on time because it's not here yet. And so I have one more day to get it here on time.
Hopefully. All right. Well, fingers crossed here. Let's all hope the best.
All right. This day in fantasy sports history, May the 8th. We start off in 1970. We were talking about this the other day. It's 72, but it was actually 1970. So we got clarity on this. This day in fantasy sports history, Willis Reed limped on that court. Game 7 for the Knicks, played a little bit, like 5-10 minutes, and then the Knicks do win that NBA title 113-99. It was Game 7 versus the Los Angeles Lakers. So for clarity, Joe, there you have it.
There you have it.
70.
The power of a crowd, too. The moment is him coming out. Like you said, he didn't play the entire game. He came out there in the Madison Square Garden crowd erupts, and this is the power of momentum in sports that we see sometimes, and this is what home court or home field advantage can
be. That's what we're gonna miss
and that's what's gonna be so fascinating, because now we're stripping sports down to, you know, the athletes against the athletes without that element in there. That's a fascinating thing, and look, hopefully we'll come back sooner than later, but at least in the short term it seems very questionable. So you're right, you're very, very good point. This is something you're going to miss out of sports. I'm a big wrestling guy, you know that. Money in the Bank is Sunday night. So my kids and I will be watching the pay-per-view.
Oh, there you go. That's something good.
What are they doing
in Orlando?
Actually, no. They're doing this one in Connecticut. They're actually fighting in the actual building all the way up, and they put the ring on the roof of Titan Tower in Connecticut, where WWE headquarters is. But they've been doing everything in Florida. But my point is, watching wrestling without the crowd is also kind of difficult, especially.
I know. I saw the pay-per-view. I couldn't get into it.
Yeah, I mean, WrestleMania was pretty good, but I will say there's if there aren't two great workers in the ring together wrestling, that you can really appreciate the workmanship over there and the choreography and what they're doing athletically. It's a little difficult to watch sometimes without the crowd because it's another one of these crowd feeder kind of things. It's sports entertainment. No crowd, it's tough, but at least it's been something to watch.
I'm in agreement. Listen, whatever you like. I don't have beef with – as much as I would never watch wrestling, I don't have beef with you
You're
watching
so desperate.
Else.
You're so desperate today, you would probably let me do a Money in the Bank preview. That's how desperate you are.
Not quite, but close. We almost got there. 1984, Kirby Puckett. Gets four hits in his Major League Baseball debut. He goes on to the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame. Of course, he gets hit in the eye, and his career ends up ending premature, does win a World Series with the Twins, and then has an unfortunate bout and sickness and passes away many years ago. Puckett was a great Hall of Famer. His legacy kind of marred, though, there at the end, Joe, with some of the personal stuff.
Yeah, some of the personal stuff not great at the end, too. But I think a lot of that stems from the career being cut short and then the illness. So, yeah. But Kirby Puckett, I try to remember the positive side of Kirby Puckett as a player and even as a man during that period of his life, one of the most likable guys you'll ever see and just easy to root
Absolutely.
For. I mean, talk about underdog. You don't see that body type in professional sports. He was basically round all the way around. And, man, he was great. He was fit fat. There you go. It comes back around. That Kirby Puckett, another guy, he could go get it, man. He could run. He could hit. He could field. And he looked like you could roll him down a hill. But he was fun to watch. Great moments for him and the Twins.
It's interesting. Like, as some people know, I have a massive collection of of everything, autographs. And just through the years, I've been very fortunate to be able to acquire everything without buying it. And so Puckett is on my list of things I've bought. It's a very, very short list, like maybe 5 to 10 things, and I have thousands.
Right.
But the reason why I did Puckett was normally the worst thing that you could possibly do is buy something when the guy dies.
Right.
But I had heard that something was going on, and I bought it right before. Because I have a collection of like every Hall of Famer, like pretty much, like I have all, and I'm like, wow, if this happens, he's dying young, I am never going to be able to get this.
Now, that's a good point.
It was a rare step out for me to spend, I think it was like $100 to get him on a ball with Hall of Fame. It's a rare step out for me on something like that. The other things that I've done was when Griffey got in the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
I got a ball with him signed Hall of Fame because this dude does not sign for anybody or anything.
No, not a big signer, yeah.
At all. As nice and smiley as he is with the hat on the back, he don't sign. Mm-hmm. So I bought one of those two. And I have like a couple of Willie Mays bats that I bought because just the opportunity presented itself. But everything else, there's probably a couple more things that I'm not thinking of, but Puckett is the one really that comes to mind because I had to make that key decision to say, hey, this is a major athlete passing away young. And, you know, there aren't going to be as many Kirby Puckett autographs out there, Joe, as Brooks Robinson, as an example.
No, of course.
So, anyway, long story short. Lennox Lewis in 1993.
Too late for that. But a good story.
1993, Lennox Lewis wins the heavyweight title by beating Tony Tucker. Very unfortunate. Lennox Lewis, probably one of the best fighters of all time. He's in that conversation. It's just he did not have the guys to fight. In the time that he fought. So we'll never really know. It's boxing is about eras. And Joe, real quick, he fought in an era with no one.
With
Klitschko and the old guys.
Right, and that's the whole thing. It's like the post Evander Holyfield era of boxing.
Nah,
it's very difficult. Well, Evander Holyfield was an incredible boxer. I mean, he was an incredible champion.
But not when he fought him.
No, not by the time he fought him, right? I always think of Lennox Lewis as kind of that last vestige of the heavyweight champs. That's Klitschko, you could put in there too. But, I mean, it's amazing because I grew up in a boxing universe because my grandfather was a boxer. And every Saturday afternoon, the wide world of sports, they'd be showing boxing. I remember Boom Boom Mancini and watching, you know,
all
Hitman
of those
Hearns
fighters
and Sugar
had
Ray Leonard. And you used to watch the different weight classes. Yeah,
Hagler.
You would watch the featherweights. You'd watch the middleweights. You'd watch now. You know, now it's all shifted, those guys who do that, it's all shifted into MMA. There's something about boxing, though, that the drama of boxing used to be great, too. And then I think boxing just got so, and not that it was ever clean, but it just got so just dirty and dense at the same time with the WBO and the WBC and all these different things, and nobody knew who was the champ, and it just got really muddy. And
what
then
do you
the
mean? Wrestling has the same thing.
Well, no, wrestling's very cut and dry now. You have a couple.
What do you
different
mean? They got things. A million belts.
No, but I mean, you don't have a million people saying they're champion. You know, I mean, there's the champion on the one, you know, and it's WWE champion on the
yeah,
one
but
show.
Like
it's
the universal champ, title. That champ.
Well, but that, but champ. It's different when you're trying to say it's the sport of boxing. You know, different promotions have different champions, but the problem is in boxing, you're looking for the heavyweight champion of the world, not the heavyweight champion of a promotion. And that was kind of difficult. And, you know,
well, who's the champ in wrestling?
Well, right now, Drew McIntyre is the champion over on Raw. And the champion on SmackDown
so
is Braun Strowman. The difference is no one saying I'm the only champion. No one, you know, that's the difference. They're different shows, the way they structure them now. And then AEW is another wrestling promotion. They have their champion. But, you know, when you go back to Lennox Lewis, I mean, this is, you know, right now it's Tyson Fury, right? Tyson Fury's champ. And, you know, I mean, he doesn't necessarily, I don't think, kind
no,
of.
No, but you know what? He and Wilder had a good fight. They could
did.
Probably continue that. Listen, we're running out of time.
Right. Let's go
back. Jadeveon Clowney is the first pick in the NFL draft. Somehow in 2014, the NFL draft was on May 8th. I don't remember this at all. And James Paxton threw a no-hitter a couple of years ago for the Mariners against the Blue Jays. He's now on the New York Yankees. Shifting over to this day in fantasy sports birthdays, you see the picture there of Hall of Famer Ronnie Lott. It's also Mike D'Antoni's birthday, along with Bill Cowher. Why did I put Orestes Destrade on there? I don't know. Maybe he was an original Marlin. Maybe I did a radio show with him many years ago. I don't know, but I just put him on there. Ronnie Lott, Adrian Gonzalez, one of the more underrated fantasy players
yes.
in history. And then if I don't put Lewis Brinson on this list and he sees the show, he'll get mad. Not that Lewis Brinson likes me anyway, because I've been saying that I think that it's a wrap for him anyway. But regardless, I don't want to get him more angry at me than probably.
Well, let's not make Lewis angry, but let's talk about Adrian Gonzalez. You're right. One of the more underrated guys. Had some real, probably the greatest first baseman in Padres history, believe it or not. I mean, Steve Garvey never had the years Adrian Gonzalez had. But Adrian Gonzalez had a window there where he was just fantastic. And then he went to Boston. It wasn't quite the same guy.
Oh, no, it was not at all.
And it was a bummer because everybody just said, oh, my God, I'm going to put him in Fenway Park. He's going to just mash. And then, obviously, two other great ones here. Bill Cowher, Hall of Famer. Loved that the Hall of Fame, you know, him getting in the way they told him is so great. I love that. That was so wonderful to watch live happen on TV.
Totally
I mean, more of that, please. Let's do more things like that. And then Ronnie Lott, who, as a kid, I don't know about you, there are certain players when you're starting to watch a sport. And as a kid, Ronnie Lott was that guy that I was just like, where is he on the field? Where is he on the field? Because he was just, you could sense that he was lurking somewhere. And when he hit a guy, he stayed hit. And Ronnie Lott, to me, was one of the first impressions that I had of how tough football was.
Yes, yes. And Ronnie Lott cut a finger off to continue to play in an NFL game.
He did.
You had Willis Reed, who gutted it out to continue to play and really gear his team up for Game 7. And so coming up next, what we're going to do is we're going to take you through those great moments in sports history of those players and people that had to gut it out to help their team or even their country, in this case, win. That's coming up next right here on Fantasy Sports Today. This is Sports Grid. Craig Mish and Joe Pizzapia. We're back in just 2 minutes. Stay on the grid. We're back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
There are a lot of times in sports where athletes really come through for their teams, and you don't necessarily remember them 20 or 30 years later, and that's why we're here for you on Sports Grid Fantasy Sports today. Craig and Joe right next to me. And, yeah, I mean, Joe, there's always those special moments in history that you remember. But then you sometimes have to kind of jog your memory a little bit and go back and say, hey, what about those moments where it wasn't necessarily about who won or lost, but it was the individual that had to do something or take their game to another level in basically what you would consider the light of adversity. And so I thought that given the fact that on this day back in 1970, Willis Reed walked out onto the court, probably a lot of people don't remember it at this point, if you're any kind of millennial or anyone else, even from our perspective, neither of you or I weren't born when that happened also. But that was an iconic moment in history. And we talked about Ronnie Lott, who basically had to cut off a finger to continue to play. What's interesting about a lot of these and how sports has changed before we get into them, Joe, is that our sort of list that we've compiled of gutty performances in sports history, if you came up with, and I've come up with, I think, 7 or 8, maybe close to 10. If you had these same 10 situations happen now, we wouldn't have these moments in history because the coaches and the GMs and the owners would never let it happen.
Some of them. I mean, I'm trying to think of more recent ones.
And there aren't, because recent. They won't let them happen anymore.
Well, they won't let them happen, but also the athlete, especially the professional athlete, is more, you know, actually less willing to risk their career
Look at the
for
NBA.
A moment. Right. I mean, the last guy I remember playing with something as serious as some of these things on here was T.O. in the Super Bowl playing on one leg, in the broken leg, and him trying to will that team along with Donovan McNabb to a Super Bowl against the Patriots. But that was all the way back in, what, 2004, I want to say? So
Listen, there's something called load management, and it's a real thing in the NBA. You're kidding me?
Like, is it ever?
Anyone is ever going to play hurt or the second that something happens? And by the way, I'm not saying that it's the wrong thing. It just was a different time that we lived in. But when we go through some of these stories and you hear them, of course, you'll remember some of them. But there are others here that really don't come to your mind's eye initially. And when we dive back into this, I am telling you, there are people that are watching go, oh, my gosh, that really happened, because it would never be allowed again.
Yeah, there's one on this list too. I'm looking to get to that actually isn't on the list here, but it's a different, gutting it out.
I'm always up for post production.
It actually just came into my head while we were talking about it, of a different way of gutting out a situation. It was the mulch. I inhaled enough of the mulch that it actually made me smarter. I'm sure by the end of the show it'll have the adverse effect. So we'll see what happens.
Hope I didn't. Okay. All right. So here we go. We'll start off, and we're calling this gutting it out. These are moments in sports where the athletes had to gut it out in order to get it done. So clearly there's a lot of success on all of these. Look, how do you not? I understand that he wasn't probably as bad off as everyone else on this list, but I'm sorry, that Gibson home run.
No, he was as bad off. You watch him try to run around the bases?
I mean, come on. This was one of the biggest home runs in the history of baseball.
Off Dennis Eckersley, who had like a one ERA that year.
Gibson didn't get another at-bat in the entire World Series. I mean, it is just – the story is insane.
It's momentum, too. Momentum in sports is so important. And the A's lost the momentum. The air went out of the bubble, and they couldn't pump it back up. But, yeah, there was Kirk Gibson trying to – you know, somehow gutted out there, and he got that one moment. And against, I think what's most incredible is that it's against Eckersley. I don't think people right now, we live in this era too, where everybody just talks about Mariano Rivera. We wouldn't have Mariano Rivera if we didn't have Dennis Eckersley in that role first. I mean, that was the guy that became the 3-out save guy, where the closer was very protected for the most part until, you know, playoff scenarios and things like that, where you maybe needed him a little bit extra. But Eckersley was untouchable that year. He had an ERA around 1. I don't even remember if he gave up a home run all year. Maybe 1?
Yeah, I think through this on the show a month ago. He had a season where he walked 2 guys.
Yeah, it's nuts how good he was. So for Gibson to come up under those circumstances and do what he did, that to me is what makes it even more astounding. He did it at home.
And you know what I love most about the whole thing is that they're still really good friends. Eckersley's comfortable talking about it all the time.
He's such a great guy. He really is. I mean, he still talks to the guy that, I don't want to say stole his wife, but his wife, you know, he's still friends with the guy who, you know, his wife left him for, who he was teammates with, and everything's fine. Like, he's just, He's just one of the best, man.
Yeah. All right. We haven't got to this yet. Maybe we will this week on The Last Dance. I don't think that we've only got four episodes left. We haven't gotten to any baseball, and we have not gotten to Jordan's game where he got sick. And had that flu game where he couldn't play and ended up winning the game. But I don't recall seeing that in any of the videos yet. So
no, I don't think they've gotten to it yet from what I heard. Again, catching up on that this weekend, too. That's Saturday's plan, too. So actually, the weekend's starting to look up a little bit. But don't be like
Joe Ranieri. By the time Tuesday's show comes around, you have to be completely caught up on that show.
All right. Deal.
Joe Ranieri, what we did is, believe it or not, we did a segment. Mm-hmm. Where I went through all my baseball cards, and wrestling cards too. By the way, I have a lot of wrestling cards, and we went through them like just Craig's collection. And Joe promised he would bring his, he would do a segment on his, and he never came through.
He claimed he had all this stuff behind me. I'm waiting for the invitation. I took some of the.
Well, I'm not saying about cards, but you got to get caught up on that show by Tuesday.
I will get caught up on that show again.
By Tuesday,
my problem
next
is
week.
I like to go right through them. I hate having to wait.
I'm worried with your Mandalorian thing. You never got that either. So get through The Last Dance by Tuesday.
Oh, definitely. I've already started The Last Dance. So it's not like I haven't watched it. But that Michael Jordan flu game, you and I both remember, you could see visibly he was not right. This guy was struggling to even stand up, let alone play as well as he did.
All right.
He
was unbelievable. Curt Schilling had to have surgery to pitch, and that bloody sock is in lore as one of the guttiest performances on the mound in baseball history for sure. Mm-hmm. Jack Youngblood. Now Jack Youngblood was actually on my show. Brett, when was Jack on? A month ago? I don't know. He was on not that long ago. He basically broke his leg in the first quarter of a game, Joe, and he played the entire game. He even got a sack later on in the game.
Unbelievable.
And it may not be one that rolls over the tongue, but everyone seems to think in the history of the NFL, this was the guttiest game by any player of all time. So
it's got to be up there. I mean, to sack a guy with a broken leg, that's pretty incredible.
And played the whole game.
But football was – those guys back in, you know, the 60s and 70s, totally different kind of dudes.
Now, it's interesting because we mentioned Willis Reed, and I had to put him on here, of course. What I always forget about Willis Reed is that he did come out and he did play a little bit, but he did not play a lot in that Game 7. It was just – more of the motivation.
It was the theater of it. It was
I didn't realize that.
The coach understood that. Red Holtzman, I believe, at the time was the coach. And he understood the theater of that moment and how it would ignite the crowd and ignite everybody. And it did. And he was right. And they won.
They did. All right. So Gibson, Jordan, Schilling, Youngblood, and Willis Reed. We'll start off with those. And now we'll move on to and I'm sure there's someone that I'm missing, but let's move to the final three that I have here with the gutting it out. You see the picture there of Kerry Strug. I remember this vividly in the Olympics of her being on the beam, falling, breaking her ankle, crying, being carried off, and, of course, winning the gold medal in the Olympics. Joe, in our lifetime, at least from what I've seen, this is like a top three Olympic moment if it's not number one. I remember watching this, and I can't say that I remember a lot about the Olympics.
No, I remember watching it, too. It was stunning. I mean – the gymnasts and how hard they train and what they go through and how they sacrifice so much of their lives to do this. And at such a young age, it's an incredible thing. And to watch her do what she did was just unbelievable. And that ankle just to land on it the way she did, to land on one ankle. it's hard enough to stick the landing with 2 feet, let alone with one. That's just incredible. And you know what? Those are the athletes, again, they see endorsement money for a window of time. But for the most part, you know, these are not the professional athletes. You know, Michael Phelps is the anomaly, the guy who, you know, lasted all those Olympics and made all the money on all the endorsements. Most of them have the window in the moment and then it's over for them. So some of them live on in folklore, which is great. And she's definitely one of them.
Yeah. I don't really recall. Definitely happened. For some reason, it doesn't strike me with Tiger Woods winning the U.S. Open with a broken leg.
I don't remember this either. Yeah. When did this happen?
I guess it happened, and I went back and I sort of remember it. But
how broken was the leg? Like Jack Youngblood broke her.
He beat Rocco Medie, I guess Brett says. I don't know. For some reason, this one doesn't roll off the tongue, but in my research for this, it definitely was. It was a big one. It was a playoff. Now, this one I do remember, Byron Leftwich at Marshall. Do you remember the video of this one, Phil, him getting hurt and the players carrying him down the field on the final drive? That I remember.
The greatest, like, rah-rah football thing I've ever seen. I mean, just, you know, he would stand back there. They would hike him the ball in shotgun. He would turn around, try to throw the ball. He'd get a first down. Everybody, all the linemen
pick him up and take him. Yeah.
It was
real, too. He was done after that.
And I think it spoke a lot about the kind of guy Byron Leftwich was, that they would all, you know, be like that. And he was there and they were all buying in and stuff like that. And Byron Leftwich now an OC in the NFL. So look at him doing well. There's one on there that I thought of as a gutty for a different reason. The Brett Favre game when his dad died. Not a physical thing. Yeah. When I think of all of like those moments where just an incredible, overwhelming emotional feel, I remember watching that game at a bar at the time. And, you know, I feel like everybody at the bar was emotional watching it. It was like about fathers and sons. And
I remember
people were crying.
It was called by you.
It was. And that was gutty because, of course, Brett Favre's going to play because he's Brett Favre and it's his dad. And his dad was a football guy. And, you know, that whole father-son thing. And then have the game that he had. He had an extraordinary game.
If I'm not mistaken, Favre also played in a game in the NFL where they ruptured all of his intestines, and he played through the whole game and then had surgery after or something crazy like that.
You might be right. Unfortunately, sometimes there's those tragedies, you know. I want to say, like, after Thurman Munson died that game back, I think it was Bobby Mercer was his best friend. Mercer had a home run in that game, I want to say. That could have been one of these gutty performances. But Brett Favre, when his father died, and it was Monday Night Football. It was a standalone game.
They played against the bad team. Was it the Raiders?
Oh, gosh, it might have been. I think you're right. I think it was against
the
Raiders.
It was a bad team. It was like a game they were going to win anyway, but he still played.
It was, but it didn't matter. And you can see the Raider guys even kind of giving him love. Because, you know, I don't remember a player that was so well-liked who was as good as Favre was by the opposing team all the time.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Everybody loved Brett Favre.
Sapp used to sack him and then jump on him and, like, hug him afterwards.
Yeah, it's hysterical, man. Nobody's like that nowadays.
No, definitely not. All right, so those are the gutty performances. And so here on this show, we're going to gut it out. We're going to continue on here until 1 o'clock Eastern here on this Friday. Hope you guys have a really, really good weekend. But we got plenty more to come. Coming up next, we're going to take a look back at a historical football season, both from a fantasy and reality perspective. So stay tuned to that. Also, a little bit later, Gray Albright from Razzball.com. He and I will talk some fantasy baseball, also just talk some life in general, kind of getting back to normal a little bit, getting outside the house, and doing things that keep us sane in life. So we'll have that as well. Also, do not forget, follow us on Twitter, @SportsGrid. If you have any questions or comments, send them over to @SportsGrid. You can copy me, @CraigMish, or @JoePizzaPia17. We'll answer your questions here on the show 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Send those over on social media. We'll answer them for you. We'll be right back with more fantasy sports today, right after this commercial on the way.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
And welcome back on our show yesterday, which you can watch on demand. Joe Pizzapia and I went through the 1995 Major League Baseball season from a fantasy and reality perspective. And then toward the end of the show, Joe and I on the air talked about what we would do on today's show and kind of went away from baseball a little bit, went into football. And for me, I was playing fantasy at this time in 88. I played fantasy in the early 80s and then stopped for a while and then picked it back up. I'm in a league with the same guys for over 30 years. So,
wow.
Yeah, we've been playing. And now again, it's not all the same guys, but I think the core, there's like four or five of the same core out of the 12 teams that have still been in it. So I always like looking back on historical data. It's always fun, Joe. And so where are we going to go today?
Well, it's always good to look back in the past so we could learn a little bit more about the future. And today we put it in the randomizer. We went to NFL and we went to 1988. It was the year that the San Diego Chargers switched their famous baby blue, powder blue uniforms to the darker blue. Do you remember the darker blue of the late 80s and early 90s of the Chargers?
Huge mistake.
A huge mistake. I was just going to say the huge, huge mistake there. I'm glad you said it before I did. I love the new ones, though. Have you seen the new Charger uniforms? They are hot. The new light blue ones, woo-wee. They
right, but the
nice
logo they changed.
Logo is crap, but the jersey is nice. the jersey is prime, back in the powder blues and everything. But this was kind of like that Junior Seau dark blue Charger that we all kind of remember. That was the jersey that happened there. Also, the Phoenix Cardinals in 1988 moved from Bush Memorial Stadium to St. Louis. So there you go. The Phoenix Cardinals moved from Bush over to Devil Stadium in Tempe, Arizona. So that's when we had that shift confused happen. Well, because I confused myself for a minute, because then they moved back again, if we all recall. So always on the move are the Phoenix Cardinals. Then in 1988, the draft was held from April 24th to 25th. The first pick in the NFL draft was Andre Bruce from the University of Auburn. He was a bust, unfortunately. Yeah. So
great player. At Auburn,
but... Yeah. Not everybody makes it in the NFL, but obviously 1988, we all remember AFC Championship game. There was the Cincinnati Bengals who came out on top. This is also the beginning of the Buffalo Bills starting to get really good in 88. Yes. And you can see that process starting to happen with Marv Levy, and then they would have that subsequent run of 4 years in a row. But this was that first time they got into the playoffs, and that was the Jim Kelly era. But it was about the Bengals, it was about Boomer, and it was about the Icky Shuffle. Do you remember the Icky Shuffle?
Of course.
What a wonderful fad that was. Icky Woods, not necessarily
that's
rolls
last
off.
Last time the Bengals were great.
Yeah. I mean, they had respectable moments. There's no way around. I mean, they made the playoffs. Yeah. They made the playoffs a bunch with Andy Dalton. They didn't win with Marvin Lewis and Andy Dalton, but they did make the playoffs, what, seven times? I think they're 0-7,
yeah.
Marvin Lewis?
Yeah.
Has a coach ever made the playoffs and has zero wins to show for it, 0-7, and held a job as long as Marvin Lewis? No. I don't want to say no. No. On the other side of this,
the Bengals were a good team then.
They were. They were a very good team. I'm trying to remember the wide receivers on that team with Boomer, though. When Boomer and Icky, I remember. Wide receivers, I'm kind of drawing a blank on here right off the top of my head. But
Reggie Brooks, was he on that team?
It might be. It could be him as well. It might have also been then. We also had, was it James Brooks was the running back then? I forget. I don't want to mix.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I think it was James Brooks potentially there. And the 49ers, this was, again, kind of, you know, peak Montana here, San Francisco 49ers, Joe Montana. This is the famous game at the end with the comeback in the Super Bowl there, that last two-minute drive where he hits, John Taylor, I believe, in the end zone. And the famous story of everybody being nervous and Joe Montana being in the huddle and saying, hey, guys, look, John Candy's over there in the front row. And that kind of just let everybody, you know, just kind of laugh and say, what are you, crazy, Joe? We got like a minute and 28 left to get this touchdown. But look, it was obviously a great finish to the Super Bowl. Boomer Esiason at the time looked like he was going to have another, you know, be one of these big quarterbacks in the NFL. That was kind of his window as well. After that, he ended up with the Jets and was never quite the same as the success.
You know, it's funny that this subject on Esiason came up recently on one of the shows I did.
Really?
And you're right, because he was really good as a Bengal. And then after that, it was pretty mediocre. But, Joe, he had one game with Arizona where he threw for 500 yards.
Yes, he did. Yes,
like,
he did.
Like, it was like a Brady Anderson baseball season, you know?
Yeah.
It was like he just had that. He had, like, one unbelievable game. Now that everybody has those games now in the NFL, like every week someone throws for 400 yards. But it was like at the time, I remember the magnitude of it, because I think even in fantasy it was like, oh my gosh. Like,
he was MVP that year actually too. MVP, most valuable player, was Boomer Esiason. And it's kind of funny to me because, you know, the Bengals were good even before that. You had the Kenny Anderson years, right? You had them losing the Super Bowl. This is actually the second time in this decade that they lost to the 49ers, correct? Because they had that that loss early. This was that first time that they beat them in the Super Bowl, and this was the – so basically the decade bookended for the Bengals by losing to the 49ers in Super Bowls. Not the way you want to go, but obviously these things happen. Coach of the year was actually Mike Ditka. So the Bears were still good, but this was kind of when you got into the whole – I want to say Doug Flutie, Mike Tomczak, can Jim McMahon play anymore kind of situation where they're rotating.
I remember always not knowing if McMahon was going to play. Yeah.
Yeah, and that was a shame, the shame of the concussions. And I remember McMahon taking some hits. There was a guy, and I can't remember who it was, in the NFL, and he used to write on his headband the name of the quarterbacks that he took out of games. And I remember him hitting McMahon and just a brutal hit. And, you know, after the play, basically, just a dirty hit. Do you remember who this guy was? He was basically like a quarterback stalker, and he wanted to get on TV saying, look at all the guys I knocked out of games. And I remember McMahon falling victim to him.
Lester Hayes?
No, it wasn't Lester Hayes. I want to say it was somebody that was a linebacker, because Lester Hayes was a D-back, correct?
Maybe on the Giants? Was it somebody on the Giants?
I don't think it was a Giant. I can't remember what team it was, but, right.
No,
but
I have mean, to go I remember McMahon research. Writing the name on his
Well, McMahon had the Adidas headband and some other things.
He would write, he wrote Pete Rozelle's name on his headband.
Jim McMahon was, again, you talk about early influences.
I met him later on. I met him later on after he retired. He used to come to South Florida a lot, and he plays golf barefoot.
Does he really?
Yes, barefoot. Yeah. Yeah.
Why is that?
I don't know. He's Jim McMahon. I think that he's had some concussion issues, some CTE issues. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But he's actually part of this group I saw that's doing a lot of work with it, not only certain medications, but also certain brain exercises that he does on a daily basis, puzzles and all these other things that they're saying it's helping him rewire his brain properly. So good for Jim McMahon being at the front trying to help other people with some of this research they're doing. Offensive player of the year in 1988, Roger Craig. You know, kind of a guy that gets lost in the shuffle of Montana and Rice, but man, that's Roger great. Craig, 1984, incredible, and in 1988, certainly quite a season. Offensive player of the year, damn
2,000 yards, I think. 1,000 rushing, 1,000 receiving.
Unbelievable. Defensive player of the year, Mike Singletary. Again, the Bears were still very good, even after 85. But they just couldn't put it all together, and that's unfortunately what happened some years.
Yeah.
But looking forward, offensive rookie of the year, John Stevens.
I remember John
running
Stevens.
Back, running back of New England. And defensive rookie of the year was Eric McMillan, safety of the New York Jets. So how about
that? I don't remember.
Oh, I remember Eric McMillan living up here. I remember the 80s Jets were weird. You know, it was Ken O'Brien and Al Toon and a lot of 8-8. I feel like that's it's kind of what they were. NFL Comeback Player of the Year, Greg Bell, running back from the Rams. NFL Man of the Year was Steve Largent. Now, I imagine this was towards the end of Steve Largent's career, if not his last season. Like, I don't remember Largent playing all that much longer than this.
Yeah, NFL Man of the Year is actually now sort of considered the most prestigious award you could win in the NFL.
Is that the same as the Walter Payton Award now?
It
or
is.
No?
It is. Okay. They renamed it.
They did rename it after him. Okay, I thought so. Super Bowl MVP was actually Jerry Rice. That year. But, you know, when I think of this year in 1988, it's a couple things. It's definitely the Bengals having that run. And it's funny because yesterday we got into this conversation about Joe Burrow and hoping maybe that they can resurrect this football team, because the Bengals in the 80s were not quite a joke. I mean, two Super Bowls in one decade is pretty good, especially when you think about two different regimes, two different quarterbacks, that they were able to kind of rebuild it in the middle there. Obviously, there were some rough times, and that's how you got Boomer Esiason in there. Yeah. But, I mean, is this the opportunity for the Bengals to kind of turn things around, as it were, and maybe kind of rebuild into being respectable? Because, let's be honest, how many years Roethlisberger has got left in Pittsburgh? I don't know.
You would think that within a couple of years the Bengals could be good. I think what got the Bengals in trouble was not necessarily the fact that they would go to the playoffs and lose, but they always would be taking on these reclamation projects of bad guys that always had these issues. And look, Burfict is the poster child for it, but it was more than that. They used to have all kinds of guys that were getting suspended or getting in trouble, and there was this notion that they weren't doing a good job, you know, kind of policing their own players. And I think that's really what brought them down, because if you're not winning and that's happening, anytime they would sign a player, it was always like, oh, it figures, it's the Bengals, you know? And ironically, that team became your team, the Patriots, after that, except for the Patriots fixed all those guys. Like anybody that would come over, they would fix. But if you went to Cincinnati, you became more of a problem. And so I think that was kind of it. But, yeah, I mean, those 80s days, too, was kind of the end for – the 49ers did actually win a few more years, so I don't want to say
they did. But, well, this was the Passover of the torch, where you started to transition into the George Seifert years too, right after this, which, again, ironic, I think we just mentioned the other show, I think it was this show, where George Seifert has more career wins than Bill Walsh in the NFL. A lot of people don't realize that, because he inherited this incredible dynasty and then the changeover from Joe Montana into Steve Young. Other notable draft picks that year, by the way, Neil Smith of the Kansas City Chiefs went number 2 overall, had a really good career, and then later on with Denver. Two great wide receivers taken back-to-back, Tim Brown to the Raiders and then Sterling Sharp to the Packers. Sterling Sharp, too, one of those first great targets for Brett Favre. I know you remember, too. Another great career cut, untimely short.
Yeah, I was a big Raiders fan when Tim Brown was on the Raiders. He was just was so good with them every single year, and he never really even had a great quarterback throwing to him. And he, you know, he's a Hall of Famer.
And was, Michael Irvin also in this. Think about those three names.
Yeah, that's
Sterling
big.
Sharp, Tim Brown, Michael Irvin, taken in the first.
I hope one of those guys in this year's draft turns out to be like them, because I got a couple of picks in the Dynasty League and I need some wide receivers. And so we'll have to do that exercise next week here on the show, because my draft's coming up in a few days, my rookie draft. I'm going to need to get on top of that, figure out who I want
for
this year.
Well, I'm ready. I just did another rookie draft yesterday with the folks actually at Razzball. I know you're talking later
who's
on.
Who's the sixth pick?
The sixth, I was a super flex, so it was a little different. I'll go back and I'll look for you.
Yeah, that's. I got the sixth and the 11th.
I think at four, I took Jerry Jeudy. I think I was fourth overall, and I got Jeudy with the Broncos because I'm just going to take the talent. I think it's going to win out there.
Yeah, I'm worried.
It's a fun,
favorite,
you know what?
My favorite guy, and I'm worried about him.
I wouldn't be. Drew Lock was not as bad as everybody thought. I think it's too big to fail there. I really do. He's got so many weapons. He's got Gordon. He's got Lindsay. He's got Fant. He's got Cortland Sutton. Now Jerry Jeudy. If he fails, it's completely on him. I think it's just a push button offense, man. I think it's actually going to be okay. It's not going to be great. But he's not going to be the last quarterback.
I don't trust that coach.
I can understand that. That's fair. That is fair.
All right, let's take a quick time out here for a top of the hour break, and we'll be right back with some win totals in the NFL. You're watching Sports Grid. This is Fantasy Sports Today. We'll be right back. Don't worry.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.